Just a little more time is all we're asking for. Just a little more time could open closing doors. Just a little uncertainty can bring it down. Nobody wants to show you how. So if you're locked on your own, you can never surrender. And if your life won't lead you home, you can never surrender. And when the night is cold and dark.
Good evening and welcome to the 40th podcast of the Never Give Up Show. I am Bailey Smith, your host, and I am so blessed to have had this show for 40 episodes so far. I'm so grateful to my listeners, my callers, and all the guests that have honored me by being on my show and helped me grow and taught me so much information. So thank you. I'm going to give out our phone number, 516-531-9643, 516-531-9643. There are two links to the show. One didn't seem to be working earlier. It's the shorter link. Again, the show will be uploaded to SoundCloud a little bit later, and then so you'll be able to listen to it on numerous platforms. I was trying to do it simultaneously, but I haven't figured that out yet. And I have a new website. It's www.thenevergiveupshow.com. It's not completely finished because of me. I haven't uploaded all my episodes yet, but there's a lot of information on there, and you could send me emails via that way. So anyway, we have tonight, oh my gosh, I'm so beyond honored, a guest from the UK. She is 6 hours ahead. So, I mean, I'm beyond, I don't even have words to describe how honored and how tonight's show I'm going to cherish forever. I watched her documentary a gazillion times. I think they took it down because I was watching it so many times. Now you have to go through a link that we'll talk about after. Anyway, I want to welcome Rachel Merrick. She's a UK-based film editor and director, and she began editing commercials in London in the early 90s. After leaving commercials, she began as a freelancer worker on documentaries and short films. She cut her first feature film in 2000. Since then, she has worked with many directors and created many short films herself. In recent times, Rachel worked with director Jason Barker on his debut documentary feature, A Deal with the Universe, about his journey to become pregnant. Most recently, she is completing a documentary feature film, Sweepstakes Hero, with the director Claire Tightly. I hope I pronounced that right. Looking at a 1998 Japanese TV show that challenges a man to live on competition prizes alone in 1998 for worldwide release in 2022. What Doesn't Kill Me, the famous one. Well, for me anyways, is her first feature as a director and is about domestic violence and child custody in the U.S. It began in 2011 as a short one about Carlotta, an amazing DV survivor in Oklahoma. But the story soon spiraled when Rachel found out that mothers fleeing domestic violence were losing their children to abusive fathers. I have the chills when I say that. Who sought custody. What followed was 6 years of journeys to and from the UK, US, back and forth, to find other mothers and experts who had an experience of this aspect of family court. The film did not attract any funding. Well, let me tell you something. We'll find you funding if you come back just in Florida alone. I promise you. Because we need more of these out there. To find other mothers and experts who had experience of this aspect of family court. The film did not attract any funding, so Rachel relied on completing all the roles herself and two small crowdfunding campaigns to pay for the practical costs of filming. Rachel is a single parent and still lives in the UK. Rachel, let me tell you something. In Florida, just within 40 miles, I can find you a whole documentary, okay, which is very sad. This is a huge, huge, huge problem. I am proud to say that I am involved with Florida Protective Parents is an organization that just started, and we are working on getting changes done, so this should not happen. And I'm part of, on the legislative committee of FACTS, Families Against Court Travesties, and I'm honored that both of these groups, organizations, have allowed me to be a part of their hard work. And I try and help as much as I can people that reach out to me, other mothers that I've met, I advocate, and I've been doing this for quite some time. I myself am a DV survivor, and it's going on 6 years. And I am blessed. I did not lose my children, but I went through post-separation abuse, like you can't imagine. And it was out of the blue. So, and I'm dealing with children, young adults, with ACE, adverse childhood experience and trauma. And this is, I think, one of my drives is when I see moms that don't have their kids or that have to share custody and the kids come back and forth and one parent is the protective parent and one is the abusive parent. And it can be with a man or with a woman, goes both ways. I think of my children and we need a new generation. We need to end this generation, this vicious cycle of abuse. We need healthy children because they are going to be running this country. And we need to break this cycle of this billion-dollar business of a corrupt court system, family court system, from A to Z. I always say from the police down to the government. And anyway, would like to bring our guest on who's stayed up until midnight or later to call in. 516-531-9643. We'd love to hear from you. And I am going to bring on our guest, Rachel. Welcome.
Hi, Bailey. Aren't you lovely? Thank you very much. That was all a bit overwhelming. Thank you.
You raised your hand, and I was like, I can't answer it. I'm so sorry. I think you pressed an icon that raised your hand.
Oh, I don't know how I did that. Sorry.
Oh, I don't either. So, well, welcome. And
thank you. It's nice to be here.
Good. Well, I am beyond honored that you responded to me. Because I have many people that don't, or, you know, they respond and then they don't, you know, follow up and blah, blah, blah. And you were amazing. So I have to tell you, your documentary, I don't think you realize the impact it had on people like myself or people that are have gone through so many of the same things or are going through from the people that were on your documentary. So my first thing is, and we have a caller already, but I'm going to wait. She's my best friend. Love her. Anyway, I would like if you can, you know, tell a little bit about yourself. I mean, I know I gave a pretty big I read your bio, but what made you go in this direction? I mean, from the other kinds of stuff you've done, the other work you've done, this is something totally at the opposite end of the spectrum. So what made you go this route?
Well, it is quite a big part of my life, this film, because it took so long to make. But what started it, as I was an editor, and someone came to me, I can't remember who or why. Anyway, they came to me with it was a promotion for a women's shelter in Arkansas, and they wanted me to edit it. And so I was like, sure, yeah, you know, jobbing editor. And I cut it, and Charlotta was one of the people interviewed for this shelter. And I just thought she was the most incredible person. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't believe her story. She was so engaging and amazing. And I thought, oh, I could make, you know, I was looking for something I could make a film about. I wanted to, you know, go and shoot something myself. And so I thought I'm gonna go out on a wing, and I will go and shoot a short film about this amazing woman. So I traveled to Oklahoma and I met her, and she's amazing and, you know, oh, just the most inspiring woman.
Yeah.
And she, I did a lot of shooting with her to make this short film, and then she took me to the shelter where she went to when she escaped her husband. And there was a woman there who is called Misty, who was the most, another incredible person, but a young woman. And she was pregnant, and she said to me, if I was to go in labor while I was still there, would I film her birth? And I thought that was the most amazing. I've never seen a birth in real life, and I worked on a lot of pregnancy and birth programs for a few years, and I thought that would be incredible. So I was like, yeah, sure, of course. But she was also in court about the custody of her 18-month-year-old child. And the people in the shelter were telling her not to mention in court that she'd been through domestic violence and she was living in a shelter. And I just was like, well, what are you talking about? You know, I kind of took the woman aside and I said, why is that happening? Why are you saying that to her? Because that seems like the complete opposite thing that you should be doing. You know, she should be screaming about it and saying, this is what's happened to me. And they said, well, it will go against her in court to do with the custody of her child. And I thought, that can't be right. And anyway, the day before I left, she rang me, and the shelter rang me, and this is in the film. I went to film birth. It was beautiful. She was this incredible silent ship of a woman giving birth. She was amazing. And the next day, I went to say goodbye to the shelter, and that's where they told me that she had the baby removed from the hospital and had to come home on her own. And they took the baby and had it adopted.
They lied to her. They had lied to her, right?
They lied to her. And she was never going to have the baby. And she's never seen the baby since. And it just horrified me so much. And I went into the bathroom and I threw up because I just had this big physical reaction. She was I had such a connection with her, and I got out, and then I had to get on the plane, and my head was just everywhere, and I was thinking, well, what am I going to do? You know, my first thought was like, I could make a film. You know, I was trying to think about something that I could do, you know, as a human, and my talent is being able to, I can make a story, I could make a film to get her a lawyer, and, you know, maybe we could, you know, get some attention to her case. And then I started looking into it, and I realized this wasn't a one-off thing. This was huge. And so that then led me to 6 years of traveling back and forth to speak to experts, to speak to victims, to speak to survivors and children, to figure out, you know, I think people can't believe it. I think people fall into this situation and they're like, what the hell is going on? I'm in this mad world where everything's upside down and it must be so unique and weird that I'm either going crazy or the world's gone crazy, and they have no idea what's happening, and they have no idea that many, many, many other people have been through this. And that's what's awful about it, because this is, people don't tend to look up out until it's all gone by and you've either been to court or lost your children, and then you look up above the water and you see all these other floating survivors, and you didn't know. And that's the awful thing, is that nobody knows when it's happening until it's all too late, that it's done. And that was my reason for making the film. I was just so horrified and moved and shocked and disgusted that I had to find out if this was really true. And of course, yes, it is really, as we all well know, it is true, and it's happening everywhere. It's happening across America, but it's also happening here in the UK and various other countries.
Yeah,
well,
I know
countries.
In the UK, on LinkedIn, I had started advocating for, as I told you earlier today, I was advocating for my son who was going through, now I know it's called ACE, Adverse Childhood Experience, and I add the word trauma to it. From a breakdown, and I was fighting insurance companies, private insurance companies, and I'm a broker. So I was tagging them because they give them a short time. They're only willing to pay for a short time because they don't look at mental health as physical. You know, we get physical issues from our mental health, or, God forbid, worse. I was tagging them, and you know, I started meeting all these different people and doing and sharing more of my story and everything. So I had met, I have a nice following overseas. And in the UK, there's a lot of men, actually. Not father rights movements, but actual fathers advocating. But that's where I started to meet people. And you know, just, you know, it was incredible. But I know UK, Australia, I mean, I follow a lot of these people on Instagram. There's so much all over the world, and it's horrible. Let's bring on my friend, Marianne, an incredible woman.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. How are you?
Okay, how are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, definitely. It's very interesting.
Did you ever Did you ever watch the...
Yes. They're very sad.
Yeah.
Yes, it is sad. That's what's difficult about this. You know, making a film... It's so sad. Like, everyone I meet, there's no... I mean, there is joyous returns once people age out, but it's on the whole, a sad...
Well, Marianne has her own
story. Well, you know, people have to know that life is sad, too, you know? And also, with the CPS services, is they bother these people forever. You know, even when they age out and they go and get married and have kids, they're back in their life again trying to take their kids.
That's a new one. I never heard that one.
Wow. Oh, this is all I hear.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. Why don't you, do you mind, Marianne, just telling Rachel a little bit about yourself?
I'm a book author too. I wrote another sad book, Dismantling Family Court Corruption: Why Taking the Kids Was Not Enough. And so I also have a podcast called Slam the Gavel. Mm-hmm. And so,
you know, unfortunately, Marianne went through a very horrific time and also lost her children. So
yes,
I will send you a link to her book. You should check it out, and hopefully
yes,
her
please.
Book will eventually be brought out onto the screen one day soon. I hope.
Mm-hmm.
I have been keeping up with you or James, but I don't know if you want me to share anything, but, you know,
oh,
Marianne
sure.
and I, so Marianne wrote a book, and it was bought by a Canadian film screenwriter, right, James
mm-hmm.
Russell?
Mm-hmm.
Hi, James, if you're listening. And they're working on getting it made into a film. He bought the rights to her book, her story.
That's so
right?
cool.
Like,
I hope
yeah.
it happens.
Oh, well, he didn't buy them only because the agreement was that when the film is made and after it's made, I get paid last. That's how they do it.
Yeah, that's always
well,
the way.
Well, yeah. You deserve every single penny for every single hell that you went through. And
oh,
not
thank
only
you, Bailey.
That, not only that, her story. And all the other stories, it's never going to be enough. We need these stories out there. All the little documentaries. Well, yours wasn't quite little, but all documentaries, all the information, all the Netflix series. I mean, every little thing that doesn't glorify or make it look like it's better than it really is, you know what I'm saying? That tell the story exactly the way it's going on. This we need the public to see this. Like you said, you yourself mm-hmm. couldn't believe it, Rachel. So you never went mm-hmm. through a domestic violence situation?
Me? No,
yes.
No, I didn't. I've never had any experience of this world.
Wow.
And because of that, I think, you know, I was really shocked by everything I came across, but I didn't want to make a film that was like, hey, this is what's happening and this is the answer, or, you know, this is my opinion. I wanted to try and show something in a very objective way, so I wasn't sort of trying to make it.
You did an amazing job. You did
yeah,
such an amazing
I really
job.
Wanted to be completely, you know, fair and just display stories. And show and basically provide evidence. And I did
yes.
sort of put in, you know, a few solutions, you know, like Barry Goldstein and the
yeah.
the Quincy solution
I've
and a couple of other ideas.
I've reached out to him
Sorry?
In the past. I've reached out to him. I want his help for one of our parents, one of our moms, sorry.
Yeah.
I wanted his help.
As an expert.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because, you know, okay, look, Marianne, did you want to say anything else? Because we have two other callers that have called in.
Oh, no, I'm good. I'm good. Thank you so
okay.
much.
Don't
hey, Marianne,
you,
thank you very much.
Yes.
You sound really
thank you.
Incredibly, and I'm sorry
she's
for what you've been
going,
through.
She's not going anywhere, right?
No, unless I get a call, I might have to go, but then I'll come back on.
Okay. Okay, great. Awesome. Marianne is amazing. We were connected, and her publisher is actually writing my book. She's my ghostwriter. So that'll be out next year, but we're not going to talk about that now. We have a caller. I don't know who it is, so let's welcome them. Hello, welcome to the Never Give Up Show. Who's calling?
Hi, is this for me? I'm not sure.
Yeah. Mhm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hi. Thank you for hosting this, and thank you, Rachel, for being on.
No problem.
My name is, and thanks for making the movie. My name is Danielle Pollack, and I work on policy
oh,
on this
hi, Danielle.
Issue. Hi.
I reached out to you.
Okay. Well, you know, I get reached out to a lot, so if my response is delayed or anything,
no, you
just try again.
To me. Yeah, no,
oh, good.
I had responded to you on Grayson's Law. I had
oh,
reached
great.
Out to you about
yeah.
Grayson's. Yeah. So
great.
We're
yeah
we're,
we.
I'm involved in that.
Yeah, we advised on that. The Florida lawmakers asked us to come in and advise on that. We advise on statutory reform in states all over the country, and also on some federal provisions. We did a provision in the Violence Against Women Act, and it made it through the House, and now it's pending in the Senate.
Yeah, I've been all over it. I'm part of the the Florida Protective Parents. And FACTS, Families Against Court Travesties. So I got involved
They've been doing a court watch for a long time. It's great. And I made a short film called Voices for Reform. It's not a feature length film, but it Caden's mom is on there. Her little girl was murdered by the abusive father, because the court ordered him to have unsupervised access. And there's several other moms on there talking about their experiences. It's about 8 minutes. You can find it on my website if anybody wants to see it. But I wanted to talk about this problem and tell a couple short stories that illustrate the problem of the abuser's murdering.
You're back on, I'm sorry. If you could just repeat yourself, because we lost Rachel for a minute.
Sorry,
I
dropped out.
Two
I don't know why.
Two sentences.
And you're far away. Over
sorry,
the
Danielle, go on.
No, it's okay. I was just saying I made a short documentary film called Voices for Reform, and it features several moms who've been stuck in court, and including Caden's mom. And she was a little girl who was court-ordered to her abusive dad, and he killed her. Mm-hmm. So she talks about that, and some other moms talk about some, you know, being court-ordered to reunification camps, which are these very costly camps that force children to reunite with their allegedly abusive parent they're scared of, usually, and some other things. But the thing I wanted to talk about for just a moment and talk about a couple of cases that illustrate this problem is we're seeing this problem that maybe should be made into a feature-length film. The abuser is sometimes murdering the mom, and then he's winning custody of the kids afterwards. It's so remarkable to me. There's a case in Texas, Sean Hardy. He killed his ex-wife, and he pled guilty. So, like, there's not a question of, like, you know, he was abusing her, and maybe he did it, but maybe he didn't. Like, he did it. We know he did it. He's confirmed to have done it. And he and his father got custody of the child, and the maternal grandparents are not able to see the child or protect the child or be with the child. And that case is one of several that are kind of unfolding now. That's the only one where we're 100% confirmed that he's a murderer. But there's another case that just happened in Pennsylvania, where I'm calling from, for Libby Leonard. And her ex, he tried to kill her repeatedly. He tried to run her over the car and kill her. And he tried to strangle her. And he was convicted for that. He was on probation for that. And she was in the address confidentiality program in hiding with her children. And he was on very restricted contact with the children because he was so dangerous. And then she was ordered to send her youngest child 2 weeks previous to her murder. And she had to take the little girl. The little girl went to the visit with the abusive dad, and he questioned and grilled this little girl and asked her a bunch of questions about to try to get out information where they lived. You know, do you live by this school? Do you live by that, you know, shop? And do you walk over here? And, you know, really questioning her. And she came home crying to her mom. And she said, Mom, I think I told Daddy too many things. I didn't mean to, but he's asking me so many questions. The little girl's 5 years old. And I saw the mom the day
that she was killed, she came to a rally for Caden, this other little girl who was murdered, and she was talking with me about hopes for reforms and passing Caden's law, which we've advised on, and she just was so, she said, the most hope I've had, like, talking to you, that, you know, potentially we could get this law through and maybe my kids would be protected. And we had a long talk. She talked a lot about her case and how she was so afraid and had been for years, and how the courts were so punishing. And then later that night, she was murdered. And she was told me that day, she said, I'm scared that he knows where we live now, you know. And he was at such a high risk to her that they, you know, put her in the address confidentiality program. And but then because she was ordered to share custody and send a little girl, you know, a little five-year-old, of course you're going to be able to, you know, coerce a little child, you know. And the prime suspect is not the dad, even though he tried to kill her repeatedly, and he was, you know, on very restricted contact. Arrested a different person who knew both of the parents, and we don't know exactly what happened, if there was collusion or what. But for now, the criminal side has arrested a different person who knew them. But in the meantime, he went, the abusive dad, who has this long documented history of abuse, he went straight to the custody court, and he filed for custody immediately before she was even buried, okay? And they gave him, the custody court, despite all this history, and despite up until the minute that she was dead, he had very restricted contact with supervised, I think it was once every 2 weeks. They gave him full custody of the little girl, the one that he's been questioning. She's 5 years old. And the little boy, who was a little bit older, was terrified and in hiding. He'd been refusing to see his dad for a long time. He threatened suicide if he'd have to go. And he was in hiding with the mom's friend and family. And they wanted to keep him and protect him. And he wanted to stay with them. He was very scared of his dad. And they tried to do it, and they were not able. And the family court just ordered also the boy, now who had been suicidal, to see his dad, and several therapists documented it. And now they took him from the safe place, and they put him with the father family. So it's another case, like the case I talked to you about, you know, in Texas, the Sean Hardy case, where he admitted to the murder. This is a similar, this guy didn't admit it, and he's not the prime suspect, but he does have this history of trying to kill her. And now he has full custody of those kids, he and his family.
That's crazy.
His parents. And there's another case in Georgia or something similar just happened. These little children there's three little children. Their mom was murdered. She was poisoned to death. And the father is the prime suspect in the criminal case. Like the prosecution is ongoing. And they had been safely with the mom's parents, their grandparents, in Georgia for, I think, 2 or 3 years now, and the court just ordered that they have to go back to the father, who's in Connecticut, and he had a long abuse history also, you know, and he's the prime suspect in the criminal investigation. But while that's pending, it's not concluded yet, they've sent these three little young children, and they came, the craziest thing, they came in the night, at almost 1 o'clock at night. A bunch of sheriff cars and a transporter came and got the little kids out of bed at their safe maternal grandparents' house. And the transporter, the father didn't come, the one who just won custody. He hired a transporter, this man that the children don't know, and all the sheriffs came with him to enforce the order. In the middle of the night, the kids could only have a bag and a sweatshirt, you know, what they had on their backs. And he took, a strange man to them, took these three little children. As they were going, they had to stay in a hotel with this strange man alone and away from their own safe, you know, caregivers, and back to the man who they, you know, think murdered. It's so sick, and it's almost like inconceivable. Like when you were talking about when you first, you know, saw what happened, and, you know, this experience of watching this woman, you know, strong woman give birth and get her baby just taken away, disappear, and she never saw her baby. It's like when you tell people these stories,
they're like, but that's not real. It's like science fiction or something. Like, that can't be happening. And, oh, it must be happening in another country. But it's happening. It's happening so many times, you know. That, I mean, I just told three short stories here that illustrate this problem of these abusers who have a long documented abuse history. Then they kill, or it's very likely the person that they killed the mom. Mm-hmm. And then the court, somehow once she's dead, she was kind of the person standing in between him and the kids, right? And so if he eliminates her, then the courts are just like, okay, well, he can have the kids, rather than saying, well, maybe the maternal grandparents are a better option. And it's just remarkable that children have so few rights and so little human rights and civil rights in these scenarios, and that I don't know how the courts can justify it, honestly. I don't. I mean,
there's no justification. There's one thing that one of the women from DV Leap, because I follow them.
DV Leap.
Mm-hmm. She wrote, the courts are profiting off of family violence and kids are paying the price.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening. They don't care about our kids. They really don't. It's a multi-billion-dollar business, and they don't care about our kids. And it's very, very scary. And, you know, it's just, it's beyond even, there's no rhyme or rhythm. Because domestic violence, and that when there are children around, it's child abuse. Domestic violence is child abuse if there are children in the home. If you have children together, it's child abuse. So how can they just? There's no justification. Yeah.
I think if I when I finished making the film, I realized that if I was to make it again, I would have done it from the point of view of the child, because it was only when I came across the children, which was towards the sort of in the last year really of making the film, which was a sort of 6-year process, that I realized it was the kids, the voices of the kids, these older, aged out young adults, and they were so powerful and so pure and so strong, and it blew my mind. I just thought how, you know, I don't think as a society we care very much about women, but when it comes to children, there's a lot of concern, and I think if I'd have made it from that point of view, it would have been bigger. I have been talking about making a UK version of the film, because it would be pretty much the same film, but I just the idea of starting a whole thing again without any funding, I just, you know, was full on. I'm up for doing it, but I just cannot afford it. I cannot afford to do that again.
Yeah, but I think because you've made the first one and you had such success with it, I think that someone would fund you. If you're really interested in doing it from the aged out child's perspective, we should connect. You should follow me, or we can find each other. My name is Danielle Pollack. And
And your film looks really. I'm going to watch your film. It looks beautiful.
Can you send it to me, Danielle?
We're
friends on Facebook.
If you go on my personal page on my, just my name, DanielleProlix.com. It's right on the landing page. You can see it. But if you're really interested in that, maybe we can work together to get you funding, because I have several children who are aged out who want to do a film or want to, you know, speak out.
Really?
And they are, like you said, they're very clear, and, you know, they want to tell their stories. And I think it's such an important way to go about it, because that's really the point, right? The children's voices are not getting heard in these cases.
No.
And
it's
all about, you know, the parents' rights and the parents' litigation. And, of course, there's this whole movement to try to get, you know, to increase parental rights rather in private custody. And what that's doing is further pushing down children's voices. And so when children, for example, have fear and are expressing fear, it's not really getting to the court because there's all of these middlemen, you know, these third-party operators who were put in place with the intention or the idea to, like, speak for the child. Oh, okay, we're going to have these guardian ad litem, you know, and these custody evaluators and all these, like, third-party people to, quote-unquote, you know, especially the guardian ad litem, they're supposed to be these best interest attorneys, you know, and, like, but the problem with that whole idea is that it's not really working as it's meant to be. And in fact, what they're doing is supplanting the child's voice in the court proceedings. So when children are expressing fear or disclosing abuse or
right.
really, you know, exhibiting resistance, that message is not getting to the court. And then as a result, the kids are getting ordered to the abusers or into prolonged abuse and sometimes death, you know, results in death in the extreme cases. And so the children, like, if you want to do something on the children's voice, I think that that's really the central point, but it's also the most poignant thing. And it's also, you can't contest it, right? Like, if a kid who has experienced
exactly.
this and aged out
right.
and talks about it, you can't say, oh, it's just made up and she's lying, she's a vindictive ex, you know, the tropes, all the misogynistic tropes that they put forward in these cases. Oh, she's, you know, she's alienating, she's making it
well,
up because she has nothing better to do with her life.
If you get children, you know? That's if you get children that did not, that, you know, wasn't taken from the healthy, protective parent and turned against healthy, protective parents. Those are
yeah.
the kind of, like my first show, my then 16 and a half year old wanted to be my guest. And I'm talking
wow.
about my situation was not family court, thank God, because my ex ended up going to jail and came out of jail. And did not show up for mediation, and I got full custody. He was then 13. But my kid's experience, he was a little bit older, but my kid's experience post, you know, ACE, the post-op, I went through my horrific stuff was post-separation abuse, and my
mm-hmm.
kids witnessed it. So, my then 16 and a half year old said, Mom, can I be your first guest? I said, okay, let's see what your therapist has to say. And she said, no problem. So if you look through my shows, the ones that are uploaded to my website right now, or you can go to SoundCloud,
mm-hmm.
they're on SoundCloud.
Mm-hmm.
It's domestic violence through the eyes of a child. Now, obviously
mm-hmm.
he didn't go into in-depth stuff, but just the little basic stuff you hear him talk about. And this came from his heart, like right from his heart. Like I told him to write down some points, and I wrote him a whole script, and he didn't even use it. So he
mm-hmm.
just spoke what it was like to be abandoned, what it was like to, because his father ends up leaving the state, and, you know, what it was like to witness what he witnessed. And he
yeah.
was
mm-hmm.
he was 12 years old when it started. So, you know.
And you can't deny that. It's so powerful when they
no.
do speak.
Yeah.
It's so
yeah.
pure and it's so powerful, and you know, we do care about animals, we do care about children, you know,
mm-hmm.
society
yeah.
and I think, you know, I really wish I'd done the whole film, because I met Hope and
you
Elizabeth
did amazing
Loudon
and
much
you don't
later
even
on.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, you don't even.
But
realize...
I really think it could have been. I think it could have been successful. It's not a successful film because, you know, nobody ever took it up. So, you know, it's doing its work now with
right.
you know, with time. It's reaching the people it needs to reach. But, you know,
right.
I wanted
mm-hmm.
it to be, like, big so that it would just expose this whole thing. You know, I had all these dreams that it would be huge
mm-hmm.
and everyone would go, oh, my God, this is happening. But
mm.
it
well,
never did
we've
that.
Been,
but
we've
it,
been sending
you know.
It around. We've been sending it around, just a couple of us, I mean, from our group.
Yeah.
We've been sending it around, so it's made its way around, and
yeah.
now it's on canopy.com. So it's
yeah.
a little bit more difficult to see it now. You have to use a library card or log in from a university ID, but I managed to get in on it today with a library card.
Right.
So, but people have to watch this, and It's unfortunate the panel is not attached to that, but
I think the panel.
I mean,
oh no, it's not.
It's
you
not
should
on
ask
there, but
the distributors to put the panel, or who did it? The Genesee Center. You could ask them to put that somewhere.
At the panel, because I have to tell you, people that are going through this kind of stuff or associated or helping people, like you had professionals on there. You had like so many different kinds of, you had it from so many, you did have it from different aspects. And, you know, I was telling some of our people that we work, that I work with and the advocate with, that there's already data out there. There's so much information out there. We have to connect with them and put it all together. You know, all, you are bringing people together. That's what it has done. It's in some ways, it's bringing information out there to people that didn't know about this. I mean, it is, definitely. And then, on the other hand, you're also bringing advocates and professionals together. So, it's just recent. So, you know, you have to give yourself a little credit. So, I mean, I reached out to you.
Yeah, but I want people who, I don't want people, you know, that have been through it, you know, just, I mean, it's great that it does sort of validate your experiences. I think that's one of the really important jobs it does. It makes someone think, oh, God, I went through this. Thank God I'm not alone, you know. But I want people to see it so that if this happens to them, or if they know someone that this might happen to, they can warn people, or they can be armed with knowledge, like, and be aware that it's an issue out there that's going to scupper many people's lives. And I just feel like I want just normal people to see it, you know.
You will. It's part of what we're trying to do in the policy. I'm the policy manager at the National Family Violence Law Center, which is directed by Professor Joan Meyer. And I'm working to advance that thing in the, you know, I'm reform statutory language, but also move this dialogue into the broader public and get press on the issue. And it's interesting because we've brought in some like national press, and it's the news likes to hook the story or the issue to a piece of legislation. So as we're advancing legislation, we're also doing narrative building with the press, and in this way, we're getting the word out to more.
Mm-hmm.
More of, like you say, people who are not involved in it, who are just like general public. And like Lester Holt, NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt, we did, you know, two segments on Caden's case, and it reached 8 million viewers. But we need more of that. You know, we need the press and filmmakers and journalists and authors to be talking about this. And I think that you know, we're reaching this tipping point because it's touching so many people. It's so prevalent and kind of, you know, in the similar way that like the Me Too movement kind of broke the surface on this thing that has been bubbling for decades that we all knew about but never kind of could get above the surface. I feel like the same kind of tipping point is coming with family court. Because it's touching celebrities, you know, it's touching people who do, you know, have some kind of ability to get, you know, they have some platform already. And it's just so pernicious. And it's so kind of astonishing. Like the stories like that I just told you and that we've been talking about tonight, and like the stories of the reunification camp, like when I go and testify to lawmakers in the various states and I talk about the reunification camp, they cannot believe it. They're like, what do you mean this is happening in our country? Mm. And they're like, you know, and I say, yeah, the court ordered the child who disclosed that their dad is sexually abusing them. The court orders the child to go and like do play activities in the woods or at these, you know, quote unquote camps with these abusers. And you know, the worst camp, one of the worst camps, the early one that's still going in California, Family Bridges, you know, they don't let the children talk about the past well, that's a way not to, you know, face the, what the facts are, what the kid, you know, the child's own memory and experience, and they're supposed to bond with their abusers who they're afraid of, you know. And yes, these are allegations in many cases, and they're not confirmed, but nevertheless, even if they're just allegations, is that good for the child to go and be forced to do that? And
no,
you know, a lot of them
not.
Are absolutely not, and they're, and the child is cut off from their primary caregiver or their safe caregiver, the one they, what they call the preferred parent, you know. So is that healthy, like cut the child off from their safe parent, stick them with the abuse, you know, the person that's in abuse and that they're scared of, and it costs, you know, $20,000-$30,000 to send the children to do these things, which are essentially re-traumatizing them in many cases, and then
Danielle,
and
do you mind if I just
all in the name
Danielle, can I just
of best
put
interest
you,
of the child?
Danielle,
I
can I just put you
of,
on hold? Can I just put you on
yeah,
hold?
Sure,
have another
I
caller.
Have to go soon. I have to go soon, but I'm going to jump off. But thank you for doing this. It's amazing, and I'm really glad that you're hosting these. And thank you, Rachel, and hopefully we'll connect.
Well,
you know,
I'd love to have you as a guest, so you can talk about yours down the road whenever you have time. I do this every Tuesday night, 7:30. So,
awesome.
You know, and it's going to be all over. I mean, I spread it everywhere, and now we have a website. It'll be uploaded to Buzzsprout and go to different platforms other than SoundCloud and Blog Talk Radio.
Great.
So, you know, I'm bringing this out there the way I can, and
great.
I'm good at posting stuff all over the place. So, you know, many people got to see this documentary, and we have to find more ways to get it out there, and not the way it's so locked up right now. Because the more people see it, you will find someone that will come and say, hey, I want to do something with this. Or, you know, but Danielle, thank you so much for calling in. It means a lot. And
yeah, thank
if you're
you
able
for
to,
hosting.
If you're able to hang on, we'll get back to you. We still have an hour to go. So.
I have to go. I have another call.
Okay.
But thank you so much.
Nice to meet you, Danielle.
And good luck. And yeah, likewise. And we'll be in touch. Take care.
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm going to bring Darlene on. She's one of my guests. Hello, Darlene. Welcome. Hello? You there, Darlene?
Hi, Darlene.
Hello?
No, Darlene.
Darlene, do you want to talk? I think I kept her on hold too much.
Well,
so
wait to
too.
You
there?
Wait a second. I'm here, right? Or you talk?
Do you have anything to any questions for Rachel?
No, I don't.
You sure?
I'm positive.
Okay. Well, let me know. Just text me, okay? I always appreciate that you call in.
It's okay. I'm just keeping it quiet tonight. I've been crying today and everything, so.
Okay. You know we're here for you. You know we're here
close
for you.
Break because that Summer Wells case here in Tennessee is killing me.
I'm sorry. Oh. I didn't
the
understand
Summer
what
Wells
you said.
Case here in Tennessee with a missing girl, and she's either dead or the daddy sold him because he sold the person kids for sex for drugs. And the mama went and got him back from the drug dealers and stuff. And now the girl is missing, and he had sexually abused and raped his sisters and cousins. And now I swear I heard a small little thing last night, and I can't find the small little video audio, which the daddy said that this five-year-old girl that's missing, you know, said she'd been raped a couple of times, but she wasn't going on and crying about it and demanding attention from it either.
Oh my goodness.
And I can't find it. And I'm like, y'all went there to their giveaway that he raped her and did something to her.
I'm sorry to hear
so
that.
So I'm like, I've been trying to search for that thing, and I found last night somebody might have deleted it out, you know?
It'll be there somewhere. You have to keep looking.
Yeah.
It's horrible. You know, when, you know my story where I had a baby that was killed. Because of my stepmom.
Darlene's a survivor and a warrior and an author.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been advocating and out there sharing for quite some time together. So she's a fighter.
Wow.
Yeah, I was sharing on her live a while ago to the people, and then they ended up blocking me. They didn't let me share, so I was like, I'm going to follow them.
I'm sorry.
And I'm trying to speak out against this kind of crap, you know?
It's hard when you live in... Yeah, go on.
My video just premiered with Little Miss Texas. I mean, Miss Texas tomorrow night at 7:30. That small little video is going to air, too, and I'm sure I'm going to get all the negative talk from my family again threatening me.
Just ignore the toxic people in your life. Block them.
I try to, but it does help when I have other people that said you're strong, that kind of thing, you know, instead of saying the negativity.
Well,
maybe
you need to just keep your profile private and stick to groups, sharing things in groups like I do.
Yeah, and now I'm also a manager for SCSA Radio. They're going to start a radio program July 1st.
That's great. So,
yes.
You're using your voice. You're powerful.
Thank you.
Darlene. You just called into a radio show. It's great.
Yes. I guess at times you just get burnt. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You just ignore and block all the toxic people out there, and you just keep doing what you're doing. That's it.
Keep
Yeah, go on. I'm sorry.
At least I got some warrior sisters like y'all that would be there for me. You know?
We are.
We're there with
Marianne.
You.
Marianne is on here. I'm on here. You know, and... You know, I don't know if Danielle has her own story. I never got a chance to ask her, but I do know she is helping us form which is why I let her speak for so long, and I apologize, Darlene. She is helping us in Florida form the statute for Grayson's Law, for the little boy that was murdered in May. If you see my Facebook page, you see me talking about him. I went to this birthday party, his father murdered him.
Wow.
Same kind of situation. They were never married. She got pregnant. He didn't want anything to do with the baby. She moved down to Florida. 3 months later, he pops up, and he gets 50% custody. Okay? And she went through hell for 4 years. And unfortunately, laws happen when someone's dead. Not before. We're supposed to have laws to protect from murders or to protect, right? Unfortunately, there are laws, and Rachel, you can attest to this because you had met one of the Jennifer's two kids, right? They were on the panel.
Jennifer Collins or. Who are you talking about?
No, there was two people that were on the panel. Darlene, do you mind if I put you on hold?
I was going to say one more thing, if it's okay.
Yeah, sure.
And the one thing about this girl that's missing over here, the Child Protective Service were going to be at their house the next day.
Hmm.
It showed up a little bit too late for this little girl.
That's
so that's why, you know, it does just hurts me so bad, you know. If you go to YouTube and you can hear some of the videos of their drugs and meth and everything, and very violent people.
Yeah. We live in a very sick world, and we live in a really, really corrupted family court system, and we live in a corrupted government and corrupted everything. And it's not just in the U.S., it's across the world. And it's very unfortunate and very sad. And, you know, we're trying to expose it.
I see where they're looking for a lot more foster parents that are non-abusive and stuff like that to volunteer. So the people that wants to do something like that are non-abusers, I want to, you know, really advise them if they want a kid to help a kid.
Mm. Yeah. That's a good positive thing to say. Good suggestion.
Thank you. Thank you, darling.
I'll be back. We'll get back to you shortly. There were a boy and a girl on your panel, a brother and a sister, and I thought that there was a film being made of their mother who was murdered. I thought her name was Jennifer.
On my panel, I don't know what you mean.
I don't think they were in the film, but they were on the panel.
No.
Their mother was murdered. Oh, there comes Lucia. She knows. Okay, I'll bring her on soon. Do you want to continue a little bit, or should I bring on our other guest? Because she seriously watched this like probably 15,000 times, and she's the one. I'm not joking. She knows. You'll see. Hold on. Let's bring her on. My girl, Lucia.
Hello, girl. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks. I am so excited to have two of my favorite people today, Marianne and Rachel. I'm so excited. Marianne, I keep following you, but every time you are on Bailey's show, you have to talk to the neighbor, you have to disconnect, you leave, and then I don't have time to talk to you.
Well, I'm going to bring her on so she could say hi to you. Marianne,
okay.
Say hi.
Hey, hello, hello.
Hello, Marianne. How are you?
Okay, how are you doing?
Yeah, you better get used to the Floridia. We all have a crazy accent in here, okay? So this is kind of who we are in Florida. It's kind of weird, and we all talk differently. But anyway, I really admire you, your work, and I can't wait to see your story on the screen. I recently, because I belong to several DV groups on Facebook, and then I guess because I'm more mature in my comments, you know, I don't harass anybody or anybody like this. I think people can see that I'm compassionate, that I really want to help. Sometimes I have people calling me 1 o'clock in the morning. They are in Texas. They are in California. They are calling me. They want to help. And then there was one case recently, Marianne, that I thought of you, and I really asked her to follow you, to follow your page, so she... because she's also from Pennsylvania. She sent me a message and said to me, I read your comments on Facebook, and I'm so lost. I need some help. My baby come home talking about sexual abuse in the father's house. You know, this story is always the same. She said that she did report, and she lost custody to the abuser. To make the situation even worse, Marianne, she's from Pennsylvania. The judge allowed the father to move out with the baby to Hawaii. Now, she's a poor woman. She can't afford to be traveling to see her baby, 7 hours flight. It's crazy, okay? Mm-hmm. So now she said to me, because I reported, I lost everything. Everything went the wrong way. I said, no, you're not alone. That's when I told her, you need to watch this documentary. You need to watch this documentary. And I keep telling everybody, so but what I noticed, Marianne, is, Rachel, I'm going to get to you, okay? Because I love the Nazis. I love the Nazis. What I noticed, Marianne, is like most of the people, most of the abusers, they have more money. And whatever you call the protective parents, the parents who report the abuse or whatever, usually she has no money. Therefore, she loses. She has no voice. She has nothing. What I notice, like, they come, they call me, and they release their tension. They vent or whatever they want to say. And I can't help. I mean, I just listen. And they are very thankful. They always call me back, and they say, thank you so much for listening. It's so overwhelming. I'm so lost. And then recently, the same girl, a young girl, 30-something years old, she texted me again. She said, I'm so sorry that I have not been talking to you. I received a letter from the court. Now my ex is trying to take in even the phone calls. Now, the reason I'm sharing this with you, Marianne, because we are in Florida, and there, each state has a different law, okay? So it's just like, in a case like this, how you suggest her to go along with this? Because now they are taking even her. She say, I cannot afford, you know, 7-hour flight every other week to visit my son. Now they want to cut off even the phone calls. This is crazy. This is insane.
What is her attorney doing?
She cannot afford attorney. She doesn't. She said, you know, it's just like, if Pennsylvania is like Florida, if you don't have money, you're screwed. Even if you have money, mm-hmm. you still lose custody of your child. But she sounds like she doesn't have money. And it breaks my heart, you know what I'm saying? I wish she, like, we all in this group, we could do, like, a big fund to help children that is domestic violence, that has post-traumatic syndrome, that we could help those children because the system is not helping. This mother, she's swimming by herself. And I know that feeling. She's swimming by herself because if you don't have money, I find cruel. You know, not only the judge took the child away from her because she reports child abuse, then the judge allowed him to move to far away, which is Hawaii. And now they're going to cut off the phone call. They don't want her to make a phone call either. I was very honest with her. I say, listen, I probably have, I'm old enough to be your mom. Are you doing something wrong? You know, did they can go against you? She say, no, I do nothing. I'm so boring. I go to work and every day I'm so in shock. So it just like, I really don't understand, not being from American, I really don't understand what's going on because I came to America not to get free rides. I came to America because I believed in freedom. I believed in justice. And then when the same thing that happened to this woman happened to me, that I lost custody of my child without them find anything wrong with me. They didn't. Even the psychologist, when she found out, she said, wow, I'm in shock. I never said anything that you're not a good mom. I look at her face, I say, but you never say that I'm a good mom either, did you? She said to me, I never told them that you were a bad mom. I say, but you never say that I'm a good mom either, do you? And I just walk away from her office. I was so frustrated. What I noticed in those parents when they called me, there was another beautiful girl from Hawaii, same situation, she lost custody of her child.
Lucia, I have to put Marianne back on hold because, remember, our guest is from the UK, and it's like 1 in the morning.
I know it's late. So let me say hello to Rachel a little bit in here. It's quick. I'm probably going
to
be quick, okay?
I want you to remind me who I was talking about. There was a brother and a sister whose mom was murdered, and the father died also, I think. They were on the panel.
I don't remember their name. The girl, she was 9 years old, I believe. You know, when the whole, I can't remember the names, okay? But there was a young man, and then he said one of the things that I remember very clear that he said that he witnessed his father killing his mother. He witnessed, and then 2 days later he was called in court, and the judge was interrogating him. How cruel, you know, that was so cruel. And it was in Pennsylvania. That was the first people that the lady interviewed. But I think it's a Jennifer Anagua.
Right.
Anagua. She has a Spanish last name.
There was Jennifer's Law. I think the movie is Jennifer One or something. There's Jennifer's Law, which is coercive control, that was passed in Connecticut. And it was one of the Jennifers. There were two Jennifers that were murdered. And then
I think this one was in Pennsylvania. I don't think she was. I think she was in Pennsylvania. No, those two.
But Rachel, are you familiar with what we're talking about?
No, I wasn't on that panel. I wasn't invited to that panel.
Did you not watch it?
No.
Oh. Okay, so, Baby, why are you so interested in the piano?
No, because there was a movie made on their mom, and I'm wondering if there was two Jennifers, that this coercive control law came into place in Connecticut. Senator Castor passed coercive control.
In her,
she was
her story also. Bailey, her story is going to be on the screen too. I think they're going to write a movie, or there's going to be a movie about
her
story too.
Right. So I was just wondering if she was one of those Jennifers, because I know the law was passed based on two Jennifers.
Yeah, I
think it's
her.
Jennifer Anagua, something like that. It's a Spanish last name, Guanaba. I really don't remember her full name, but I just want to say hello to Rachel. And,
hi.
From the bottom of my heart, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. I have watched your documentary. Believe me, I'm obsessed. I watched maybe 3 or 4 times. I love it. I love it because the way you did, I feel like I'm living. I'm living. I love that train moving around, and I feel like I'm there. It was so well done. It's so well done. I love Charlotte. My heart breaks for all these women. For all of them, and I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I have to tell you, I shared this so many times on several groups that I have to apologize. I did apologize. Say, listen, I hope I'm not imposing, but you guys must watch this. I keep because most people don't believe it, you know, until they see or they go through the experience.
Yeah.
And just before I go off the topic, I just want to tell you what Bailey said in the beginning. You know, in Oconee alone, or maybe in 40 minutes, you know, in an area, you'll be able to do another documentary, because it's one case after another. That is, it's bizarre. It never stops. My case was in 2010. I thought I was a unique case. I thought maybe it was something with me, my accent or whatever. No, it was happened even before my case. So, again, thank you so much. And as Bailey said, we can help you. Maybe we can do like a GoFundMe, and then you will have the money before, because we don't want you to do the work and say, oh, we don't have the money. You know what I'm saying? I believe if everybody contributes. Exactly. Oh, I'm a business lady. I don't, you know, trusted by verified. So, you know, nobody works for free. I mean, you have done an amazing job. So that's something that if you really decide to do, I love the idea that you said to have the children's voice. It's amazing because our children are being silent. And then because we interview mostly the mother and the father, they become like a fight between two adults that hate each other. And we are forgetting who is the main person, who is the main suffering in this picture, is the children. So I love the idea. I love the way that you interviewed Jennifer Collins. She's an amazing little girl. So this is something, if you decide to do it, this is something we can think about. I'll be sharing that GoFundMe until I have to apologize.
Thank you for your lovely words. You're very sweet. Thank you.
You know, we're dealing with a lot of parents that have, in Florida, the judges, and I was told that the judges, it's not a law, but they have created this 50-50 thing, okay?
It's 2008, baby. That was exactly what it was when I was in court. That was exactly when I was in court.
But it's not a law.
Lord King.
I just heard that it's not a law. It was created by the judges.
Really? I thought it was a law.
It's not a law. And you know, we have the same thing. It's all, like Marianne's case, her... It was predetermined. Her ex-lawyer was friends with the psychologist, was friends with the judge. Mm-hmm. Or I'm mixing up the order. She can, when I bring her back on, she can, you know, fix that for me. But it was all predetermined. So she went through hell, but it was all, the ending was going to happen. And, you know, here you have children that are refusing to go to their father, and the mother is forcing them to go because they're petrified to lose these kids, And one of our protective parents today just sent us something that her child just had another MRI with a broken came back from the parent and just came back with another broken foot or a bone.
Okay, whatever, something broken.
The second time. You know, it's like, and they're fighting, and it's really all about power and control because they have no more control over us, and they don't want the kid, you know. And it's
exactly.
And it's, you know, if people care about the kid, they do what's best interest. And when you have one parent showing abuse or whatever it is, okay. Why don't they say, hey, something's not right here? I mean, like, there are all these different scenarios where you see something's not right. Because if that parent truly loved that kid, they would want the kid to be with the mom just as much. Because
you can't
love your kids. You can't love truly love your kids when you hate their mom so much.
I know. And I hate the fact that they use the kids as a pawn to hurt the mom or to hurt the father. Sometimes the women do the same thing, but more often it's the man, you know, who does this. The women also, they can use the kids to hurt the parents. It has this game, you know. The kids are suffering too much. It's not right. It's just not right. But anyway, think about Rachel and let us know in advance and don't do anything until you put the money on your table, okay? But don't walk away from us.
I will not.
No, I know.
You can do it, and you can add it to this, and I can't imagine it won't get picked up.
Mm.
I just can't imagine because you did this so friggin' well, and
so
coming from a domestic violence situation, could have lost my kids if I didn't fight like crazy because. I had dealt with police for years, and they were horrible. And when it comes to domestic violence, if you report it and the police write proper police reports, the courts can't go against a good police report and a restraining order, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, they can do whatever they want, but it's less likely, you know? And it's not possible they're abusive just to the mom and not to the kids. It just doesn't work that way. You know,
just want to ask the last question to Rachel and then I'll let her go. Okay, Rachel, on your research, I know you did this mostly based in America, and I think you did say this in the beginning a little bit. It seems like this is going globally. Isn't that right? Because I talked to people in Australia, Canada, UK, mm-hmm. It seems like they're all having the same problem. What is this? Is that right?
Yeah, it is. It's true, yeah. It's just the same here in the UK. That's why I've thought about making a film here. I mean, we don't have such a litigious background, but it's becoming that way. And we don't really have the term custody. We have residence, but it's the same setup and it's the same everywhere. Sadly, I mean, I had requests to screen this film all over the world, you know, Israel, Japan, Australia, Bulgaria, everywhere. So this is a worldwide problem. There's some countries that are doing better than others, but yes, it is a pandemic. And I have to say that when I started this film in 2012, there was maybe one article, I think, possibly the Washington Post. I think there was one piece of something I could hold on to as something that was reflecting what I was seeing or understood what was going on. There was one single article. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think is good for all of us and good for the whole movement is that now there are hundreds. There are hundreds, there are films. There are people talking. There's a radio show that we're on right now. This must be a sign of hope because
there's many radio shows. Marianne, Marianne has one too. Darlene hosts one,
exactly.
Or was hosting one.
This must mean something good because if you can see it and you can hear it and you can hear people talking about it, something's happening. And I think as you said earlier, Bailey, I think we are on a tipping point with this situation.
Yeah, it's
and
about exposing the corruption to the public, because we are, I don't know about in the UK, but we are the voters. We vote for judges. We vote for police chiefs. We still have those rights here. I mean, for now, in America, we do vote, and you know, I think that the more people, the public, start to see what's going on, the more you know how crooked the police are, and how crooked the judges are, and how crooked our own lawyers are. Nobody gives a crap about these kids. All they care about is the money in their pocket. It's sickening. It's absolutely beyond. It's inhumane.
But I don't know if you remember, Rachel. I don't know if you remember, Rachel, one of the retired judges on your documentary. This is not only Bailey and I saying. She confirmed exactly what Bailey said. It's so about money. It's just like it's so insane how they write, like, sometimes false documents just to see who is going to get the custody, false report. This is crazy. You know, who is going to... People get paid to write false report against a parent, so the other one can get full cut. That's not right. This is awful.
Like,
but
I have to bring up that that person that spoke. I forgot what her name was. Somebody applied for a forensic psych credential.
Yeah,
and they use the name of their cat. They use their cat, Zoe D. Cat, and they get $350. And then they were forensic. They had certification.
The cat could testify in court, legally testify in court.
Yeah,
it has a qualification to do that. That's how easy it is to become an expert
court. Yeah. I just want to get to know.
But that's who is. Those are the people that are making decisions, lifelong decisions that are going to affect kids' lives forever. Okay.
But they're making their money for themselves. That's what they're doing. They're not interested in that. They're just making money for themselves, and that's more important than a child's life.
Exactly.
Lucy, I'm going to put you on hold so we can talk a little bit more. Lucia could talk so much, just like me. If we had to do a show together, if we were co-hosts, we'd out-talk each other. we have 35 minutes left. I want to give our number out again, 516-531-9643. One of our FACTS, Families Against Court Travesties, ladies called in. I'm sorry to get to you that second, but if you're still listening, please call back in. We still have time for you to talk. We have some incredible people in Florida, and I'm so honored to be a part of their organizations. But anyway, let's get back to you. So tell me more when you started, for instance, the woman from DV Leap, right? One of your people giving you statistics or numbers or, you know, I think she's from Washington, right?
Yeah, Joan Meyer. Yeah.
Yes, they're from Washington, that group. Like, when you were hearing these professionals and Barry Goldstein, when you were hearing with the professionals what they had to say, like, where was your mind going after seeing, I don't know in what direction you were doing this, like, was it all over the place, or like all the moms first, or the kids, or the professionals, or just mixed up? But when you started to see what the professionals had to say, what was going through your mind?
Well, I think the first thing I went to was a domestic violence conference in Texas, in Galveston, where I met I met Evan Stark. That's right, I met Evan Stark there, and and he led me to various people. It was a sort of chain. I was jumping from person to person, trying to find. I just couldn't believe it, you know, and Evan was my first interview, and which was, remind me who he was. Dr. Evan Stark. He's a professor emeritus at I forgot where he is. He talks about he refers us to Marianne Hester and the three planet model. And he was my first interview, and he is so knowledgeable about all of this. He goes to a lot of conferences and speaks. He's really incredible. And I wish he'd been my last interview, because I felt so overwhelmed, and I just didn't know what I was asking him, because I didn't really know what I was getting into. He was the first person I spoke to, and he was telling me everything, the basic facts of what ended up being the whole film, really. He was telling me all of the facts that made up the film, and I was just a bit overwhelmed. And so I had this amazing first interview with him. And that kind of led me, you know, I ended up finding Marianne Hester and speaking to her, because she lives not far from me here, and then talking about the three planet model. And then it was really later on that I found the mothers and went to the Battered Mothers Custody Conference, which I've been to a couple of times. They're amazing. It's an amazing event, and it's a really productive group and a really productive time of year for these. This problem, and Barry there, of course, and I think when I was talking to them, I just kept trying to look for who was the expert in this, who knows the most about this, and I kind of feel like it's Barry and the Stop Abuse Campaign, and I just feel like this needs to be some way that we can all connect, you know. There needs to be some kind of massive centralized database for this issue. I feel like Barry's been the most successful with the Stop Abuse Campaign. He's very positive. He's doing very positive things. He's actively working towards changing legislation. But I do feel like we need a centralized, you know, there's lots of little pockets of people working as hard as they can. It's like, and like you, Bailey, you told me that you just recently found out about ACES from the film, and ACES is a huge, you know, worldwide piece of information that everyone should know about. There's another film, I think, that came out the same time as mine called Resilience. If you haven't seen it, you should see it. It's all about ACES.
I'm going to start putting Netflix together.
When I was editing the film, I nearly cut out the whole section about ACES, because it wasn't quite aligned with the whole of the rest of the film, and I nearly cut it all out. But I really felt it was important, because it was like, this is what's the result of what is happening, is these kids are this, you know. But it does deserve its own film, Adverse Childhood Experiences. So.
Yeah, I mean, I know I have one child right now finally dealing with it. You know, he saved me from his father almost killing me. He was not even 17 yet, I don't think, or just turned 17. No, not even 17 yet. And he was home when his father came into the house and just almost killed me. And he then, after that, he decided he was going to finish high school in New York. And I live in Florida, by the way. I have a New York number, but I live in Florida. And you know, he then went away to school in Israel and everything. And then he came home back from COVID. And I always offered him help. And, you know, my kids all have anxiety and ADD and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, genetic stuff and you know, he just kept running away from having to deal. And just COVID time, it hit him so bad that the last year plus he's been debilitated, and he's 22 years old. And I had to put him in a mental health facility, and it's been horrific because this kid has just not had catch a break. Like, I want to cry. It's just devastating. And, you know, he said when they started doing EMDR, which I'm sure you've heard of, it's a form of, have you heard of it?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay. And he said he cried so much the first time he had it done. I said, that's good. You need to get it all out there. Because the first time he ever really started to dig and deal with the trauma that was caused. And then I saw this documentary, like literally right, that's around the same time. This was recent. And I said, oh, my God, my kids have ACE scores above the highest number. And I really cried. It really, and by the way, ACE is adverse childhood experience. The children that go, first of all, if those of you that are out there that don't know this, it's been studied that children that have witnessed abuse have lived in a war zone. And their brains are that, have been studied to be of that as a vet. So imagine children's brains have been studied as if they were in a war zone. So domestic violence that children witness is a war zone. So how could anybody justify that? How could they justify that? Mm-hmm. Forget words from the mouth. This is studies, you know. And I'm the one thing my kids have for them is that none of them have fully developed brains. You know, boys, I have three boys, 25, 26, 27 usually, and none of them are that age yet. So I pray within the next few years they all get the best possible help so that they can live. My dream is for them to live healthy, productive lives. And you see in the documentary, the twins, that talk about the ACE. Share about that.
Okay, so when I met Hope and Elizabeth Loudon, they had a terrible experience with their father, who they ended up being arrested at the age of 15 or 16, and anyway, they refused to go with him because he was he basically treated them really badly, and so he got them put into jail.
You imagine locking up your own children? Unbelievable.
Yeah. Anyway, so when I met them, they were a few years out of it and were living happily with their mother, and but they took the ACEs test, which is a 10 question quiz to see what your ACEs score is. So it's things like, have you witnessed domestic violence? Has anyone beaten you? Have verbally abused you, sexually abused you? Various things to get a score of whatever out of 10. And the larger number that you have in that score, it means you have adverse childhood experiences, which essentially means as you grow up to be an adult, you will have more problems with mental health, more physical problems, and possibly die younger because of suicide or because of diseases that you will get. Because basically you're more vulnerable as a human because of what you've been through. And people are aware of that, doctors and health practitioners can treat people with a trauma-informed background. So they are aware of someone who's been through trauma, and they can be treated and cared for in a way to look out for things like, you know, preventative issues before these things start happening, you know, heart problems, anything like that. So that's
even,
what the ACEs score is.
Self-medicating, drugs. And like, is it suicide?
Yeah. So coping mechanisms, smoking, drinking, yes. exactly.
So I knew all that.
I mean, it makes total sense. It makes total sense.
Right. So I knew about childhood trauma that goes unresolved, which is what happened to my ex-husband. You know, so they grow up to be adults that are a disaster. Sociopaths, narcissists, you know, personality disorders, and these are the people that are getting custody of kids. I'm going to bring Marianne back on. She's been waiting so long. I feel bad. Thank you, Marianne, for hanging on.
That's okay. I'm here.
Anything you'd like to add?
No, I'm listening. It's just, it's also frustrating what people are going through. And, you know, I'm glad you made this film because it has to create awareness. Even if you think it's not doing well, it might be.
Right. Yeah. It just feels like
our little
ago, 10 years ago, I started this film. And I mean, it's really lovely that this is happening and we are having this conversation tonight, you know. This is happening because I made a film, and I'm so proud of that this is really, this is doing the work on the ground that it should be doing. It makes me very proud, and I'm pleased to be here tonight, Bailey. I thank you for this opportunity.
Well, I'm even more pleased because when I, like I said, and Lucia said before, you know, to us, you know, we're advocates, and, you know, not only have we been through a lot of this stuff, you know, from different aspects of it, okay? You know, just the way you did it was just incredible. And that woman, Charlotta, she is unbelievable. I don't even understand how this woman is still alive, still out there.
I know. Yeah.
Doing her thing. And
she's 93.
Unbelievable. And you see, I don't know if I should even say this, but you see that her son, who's what, in his 50s?
Yeah, Brian, yeah.
He is not living like her.
No.
Am I wrong? Did I
No, you're
that
not
up?
Wrong. No.
He's had
a tough time.
Yeah. So you wondered, did she do the right thing? Did she not do the right thing? Nobody could judge anyone. But
I think if she did the right thing, because if she didn't leave at that point, she would not be alive. She would not be alive.
But do you think she should?
But her
she
son has had,
look,
lot, she, had a lot of help recently. He's doing a lot better.
Doing better.
That was quite a long
but
time ago.
But he never
ago.
Was
and
married
have,
or lived a.
Brian,
he's
yes,
never
he
married.
Did. He's got two. Yeah, he did.
Oh yeah.
He's got two sons.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad to hear
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
No, but I meant like by leaving. Or like people say, well, why don't you leave earlier? Nobody could judge her. Nobody walked
no.
her shoes. You know,
no.
I had so many chances to have my ex-husband arrested prior to when he finally was, and I was scared.
Mm. Well, Charlotta was managing the safety of everybody around her by managing a violent man herself. You know, she was managing the neighbor's safety and people in the street safety by keeping this man happy. And that was very heroic of her, but ultimately, she sacrificed a lot of her life, and that was the film. Her story was the film that I originally went out to make, and I have to say, during lockdown, I went back to the film, and I cut the short film of Charlotta's story, which I've finished. I'm trying to enter it into film festivals at the moment, so that'll be out
That's
there
awesome.
Soon. 20-minute film, and it's lovely. It's
she
all
is,
the, all the
what,
lovely Charlotte
what
a bit
amazing,
more.
What an amazing woman. You know, when you guys left and she closed the gate to her home and she's singing and she's, I mean, the energy must have been incredible to be around a woman that was showing you a glass, I don't know, canter that was used to bash her over the head. And she's happy-go-lucky, You know,
yeah,
and it's like,
she's incredible. Yeah.
You were lucky.
We
to
write
meet
to each other
like
every
this.
Couple of months. She's amazing. She's still going. She's still in a house. She's 93. I think she was 93 last week.
Amazing. Amazing.
That was her birthday. She's wonderful. She's a joy.
Amazing.
She's kind of clawing back, you know, her life and raging against time because she
right.
deserves it, you know.
Yeah.
She's an inspiration to all of us.
Marianne, anything to comment?
Well, I would love to have you on my podcast.
Sure.
I'll link you guys
at 1 in the morning.
No, hers is anytime. She does.
Yeah.
She filmed hers. Sorry, my headset fell off. She filmed hers. Hers isn't live. yes, and we all owe you for this. So whenever you want to come to Florida, we will pay for your ticket, and we will have you come. And when your film comes out or you want to do more, you know, documentaries, we have stories for you.
I know, yeah.
So,
no.
And just here in Florida.
It was such a traumatic.
Yes, I'm sure it was.
As you can imagine, it was such a traumatic thing to make. I feel like I'm not over it, but, you know, I when you listen to people's stories, I think something happens to you. Because what I was doing is I was asking people to talk to me, not the camera. So they were looking in my eyes.
Okay.
And that day, so you know, I don't know if you remember in the film, there's this long corridor that I have women walk down.
Mm-hmm.
At the BMCC.
Mm-hmm.
And they sit in the chair and they talk. Well, that event I went to was the BMCC. And I remember asking, someone announced that I was around and I'd like to speak to anyone, but nobody came to talk to me on the camera. So I just sat at the end of this corridor waiting, and nobody came. I don't know if people were just like busy or they didn't want to speak. And anyway, that Saturday night, which was the last day of the conference, someone came up to me at 5 o'clock and said, oh, can I tell my story? And I was like, sure, you know. And they came and sat down, and then I could see people queuing up behind.
Of course.
And then so the next 5 hours, it was just a constant stream of women talking. And the things they said, it was just horrific, horrific stories, sad
And I'm
stories.
Telling
and
you,
I,
it's all true stuff. It's so, and when
oh,
you're
yeah,
coming
yeah.
from someone who doesn't, never experienced this and didn't even know it was really happening,
wow.
Even, you know, Charlotta's story, you know, she went through horrific abuse and her son obviously witnessed it, but, you know, she just lived her life at the best that she possibly can. But you're looking at, here you're looking at women who, the woman that was nursing her baby and was ripped away from her. I mean,
yeah.
To face someone like that, I don't, and you are incredible. That's all I could say. Marianne, anything else for Charlotta? Oh my God, I just called you Charlotta, Rachel.
That's all right. No, I like that. I'll be Charlotta any day of the week. She's the coolest woman alive.
Marianne.
Oh, hey, I'm just listening, and I'm thrilled to meet you.
Oh, thank you, Marianne. Where are you then?
And Marianne is an incredible woman too. What?
I'm in like Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And like I said, she will work around your schedule, right, Marianne?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, look her up on LinkedIn. She's one of my friends on LinkedIn, and she does amazing. I got a lot of my guests through her, you know. And like I said, my ghostwriter, I met through her, who's helping me write my book, who is writing my book. I'm just sharing. She's doing all the research and everything. And, you know, she put up my website for me. And, you know, Marianne and I just clicked and, you know, we met. I interviewed her on another platform. And then when I started my own show, She was on my show. I was on her show. And we just, you know, we networked and we've become people out there just bringing, I mean, I don't know if she's out there doing the kind of advocacy that I'm doing, but she's, by doing what she is doing, bringing people out there, experts and people sharing their stories, she's doing advocating that way. And, you know,
right.
We just stick together. And, you know, I'm doing this quite some time, and it's really, I see a change. I see some sort of change. And it's going to take a long time. But, Marianne, don't you see a little bit of change since you're in the picture?
Oh, yes, it seems to, yes. The more people that speak out, the better it is.
Yeah. And the more films we get out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there's
because
something
a lot of
about,
people don't know. They just don't know.
Sorry, carry on.
What was that, Marianne?
Oh, I just said, you know, people don't know that these things can happen to them. I mean, what happened to us can happen to them.
Yep.
They don't realize.
Yep. So we have about 14 minutes, Marianne. Thank you so much for calling in. I hope you stay on and listen. I'm going to try and do another round, but I'd like to just bring Darlene back on. Hopefully she's doing a little bit better. Darlene, thank you for being so patient. Anything else you'd like
to say? You're welcome. You are a true inspiration. To go to where your movies
you're
are.
You're not so clear. We don't hear you so clear.
Uh-oh. Let's see. I'm sorry. Can
you have something on in the background? Is there something on in the background?
It's not close to me. Is any better?
Try again.
Is this any better?
No.
I can hear you, Dolly.
We hear you double.
Oh, boy. It's not good.
Now I hear you.
I got a problem. I pick up on the accents and I start talking like it. You tell my accent changed a little bit in the y'all's.
A little bit, yeah.
Any last minute comments for Rachel?
I was wondering again how we go about going to see the movies that she has done.
Mm-hmm. You can look on Canopy.
Yeah.
Oh, Bailey, you know the details, don't you?
So, attached to where I posted the show, it says www.canopy.com/product.
Right.
And then what doesn't. So, I don't know if you can go directly to Canopy. Probably you can. It's like, it's almost like a Netflix, but you need to enter a library card. You have to have either a library card.
I have a library card, yes.
And does it have an account where you have a PIN?
Have
you set up online?
I think I created a PIN, yes.
So then you can log into Canopy, either that way or with a university or college ID. And I did it pretty easily. So it didn't actually find my library nearby. My mom gave me her card. Because I thought I saw hers nearby, but I ended up creating a library card from where I live online, and I put in the PIN, and then I was able to just set it up. So it's a little bit steps. I wish it wasn't so difficult because more people probably
got a library card this year, so it should work.
Good.
You know.
Yeah. Well, definitely check this when you watch this. Just be prepared to have a lot of tissues and. You know, maybe some wine.
told somebody I need a little bit of wine cooler right now. You know, would help smooth me over a little bit. You know,
and it's phenomenal because these people on there were just incredible. And I'm sorry, Darlene, finish what you wanted to say because I want to bring Lucia back on, and then I want to
close.
Yeah,
I was done.
Darlene, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling in, and I hope you're feeling a little bit better. And we're out there praying, and you know, things go well. And you know, always here for you. You know that. I'm gonna bring Lucia back on. Yo, girl.
Yeah, yo, girl.
I know
yo,
you
girl,
have a lot
I'm
to
here.
Say.
I'm here. No, I know. You and I, we are like a fighter. Who can talk more? No, I just want to say once again, thank you for Rachel's sacrifice. I know it's very late in England right now, and I really, really appreciate it. And I just want to tell you that I am your number one fan, your number one PR. If you ever come to Florida, I have no problem you being with me. So you can stay with me. I live by myself with two beautiful poodles, and they are sweet as can be.
Oh, how lovely.
We're not
That's
joking.
Really
We're
sweet.
Serious.
Thank you.
Because
yeah, no, I know. I do know.
you don't even realize the connections you are making here. Like, I reached out to Jennifer Collins. She didn't get back to me. But, you know, I can reach out to some of those professionals. Barry already, I'm friend, you know, he says, yeah, I'm getting back to you, don't worry. But I never get a hair back from him. But, you know, our crew has already, the people that, from our group, from Florida Protective Parents, have already dealt with him in a lot of ways. And Families Against Court Travesties, they've already dealt with him. So, you know, and Danielle Pollock is a big person that's helped with statutes and laws being changed in family court. And like she shared with us tonight, I did not know she did a film that I'm going to look into, a documentary. So if this doesn't make it huge out there, you make connections for people, because there are people out there now that we know that are doing research and or have data, and we're trying to start doing that in Florida. So we just have to connect, like we were talking about earlier, is bringing people that are out there doing the same thing from all over the place and connecting them. So if anything, you did that, and you brought awareness.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, people like Barry and Jennifer, they're on the front line. I mean, they are working hard at this every day. You know, they're doing Jennifer's doing all the legal work, and Barry's doing his expert witness, you know, he's working in courts and things. They are on the front line every single day.
We have our people here. We have our people in Florida. I don't know about other states. I do know there's a case in New York. I'm going to be doing they're doing briefings and they're trying to get people's stories. So things are happening in New York, they want me to share my story. They wanted a bunch of us to share our stories and pertaining to one of their briefings or whatever. You know, we've connected in a few months, all because of this poor little Grayson Kessler that was murdered. And, you know, unfortunately, I mean, I was doing this stuff way before this happened in May, but his mom was able to go out there and use her voice. Unfortunately, it takes a death to be able to get your voice heard. And I immediately reached out to her and said, I want to be involved when you ready to use your voice, you know. And thank God I was able to get involved. And, you know, in any way, we're out there using our voices, and Lucia's doing her thing.
And people like that are so precious, aren't they? Because they are a survivor, and they've lost their child. There's a beautiful
She's
woman
in the middle of
Anna
grieving.
Esteves.
Yeah.
Yeah, Anna
She's
Esteves.
Out there
She's
grieving.
The mother of Peaky. And I met her when I went to L.A. to the Awareness Film Festival that this film was in. And she was not, it wasn't that long after Peaky had been murdered, and she was, I mean, I spoke earlier about the children's voice being powerful. I mean, a mom who's lost their child because they've been murdered.
I can't even imagine.
I can't comprehend what they go through every day. But she is, these women are precious, precious people who Their words are so powerful, and they are amazing. And they you know, I was in awe of her. She's an incredible woman, Anna Estevez. She's amazing.
Which woman was that?
This is Anna Estevez in California. Her son was called Peaky.
Oh.
And she's working. She's had some legislation passed in California. I can't quite remember what it is. Legislation.
Is she involved with Tina Swinton?
I don't know.
One Mom's Battle.
Possibly.
Yeah. Well,
know,
look. You know, everybody's connecting. Everybody's working to connect. You know, and you know. That's what we're here doing. You know, hopefully you and Danielle will connect, you and Marianne will connect, and
Great. You'll
do other, you know, you and you'll be on Marianne's show. She has her crew of people. I help her as much as I can bring, you know, get her shows more publicized. Not that she needs it, but I try and help her. And, you know, we're all out there just working as a family. Unfortunately, you know, it's unfortunate that this is how we're connecting, but that's what we're here to do. And, you know, your film just was incredible. Lucia, anything else you wanted to add?
No, I just wanted to reinforce what you say. She might think we'll be joking. We're not joking, Rachel. We are serious. You know, my
yeah.
door will be open for you. You can stay with me. And if you're concerned, I have a great friend in UK. She can give a background on me, okay? So that's
okay. You're brilliant.
The only thing
you
is,
safe,
the
you know,
only
and,
thing
and
is
really
you're just
going
to have to listen. You're going to have to listen to Lucia talk a lot.
No, look who is talking. I know you guys. I know the UK. You guys are more reserved. I'll be zipping up. Okay, I'll be quiet when you're here. and I really, really hope that you get. I don't know the other lady Pollock, but I really hope you can contact Marianne. I love Marianne, and I think she's an amazing lady, and I think you'll be an asset to her. To her show, she's
her
great.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
yeah.
I can't wait.
Okay.
I can't wait to meet her personally.
Marianne,
I really
you're
love Marianne.
Yeah. And that's Marianne. Lucia found me through us doing that intimacy, whatever that was called. I think they took me off their group, but we did a video.
Surviving the intimate.
Yeah, we did a video, a YouTube together for this group. She did one, and I actually chimed in, big mouth that I am, because it was an interactive YouTube live video, and I was able to get on. And, you know, Marianne and I had a good dynamic, because she's very reserved and I'm very loud. And I think it got a lot of views. We helped bring them a lot of views, Marianne. But then
so
Lucia
too.
Saw that. Lucia actually saw that, and that's how she contacted me.
Yep.
Connected with me. And now we
exactly.
talk almost every night while I'm walking. So, Rachel, we have a minute and 30 seconds left. Any closing? Everybody's on. Any closing? Oh, God. We lost her. Damn it. I hope she can call back in. What did you guys think? Incredible, huh?
Oh, she's amazing. I love her.
Marianne.
Definitely. I'm
yeah.
so glad you had her on.
Yeah. I was like, wow, she's
awesome.
Going to really come on? You know, and she sent me her bio 2 weeks ago. Oh, here she is. Let's get her back on quick. Oh,
hi, I'm back.
So glad
Sorry.
You're back on.
I disappeared.
Yeah. So give us some closing words, just something.
Well, what can I say? I'm grateful for this opportunity. It was really nice to talk to all of you. You've been so welcoming and kind about my work. I'm really happy that it's getting out there and people are using it for what it should be used for affirmation and for education. I think it's really important, and I'm really glad I've told a story that is useful to people. Piece of good news. I was approached last week by a university in Copenhagen that want to that have asked to show my film as part of a Global Health Film Day event. And last year it was on at the Global Health Film Festival. So this is an issue which is being seen as a health issue. Domestic violence and child custody and the family courts is affecting so many people that it is now a health issue, and people are seeing it like that, and people are using this film as education. There was a wonderfully big event last year by Brunel University in London, and they prioritized lawmakers, judges, social workers, and they had to watch this film, and there was a great discussion afterwards. So this film is now out there being used to educate people who are working within law and judges.
That's amazing.
That's happened in Britain anyway, so
excellent.
Hopefully that's where it needs to go in America. If anyone can help us get it to educate lawyers and judges, that's where it needs to be, because once they see this, they need to do their own research and educate themselves, and that's where change will be made.
Well,
I really appreciate
your
time.
Now.
Thank you.
you have a job now to post this for education.
Absolutely.
Education,
you know me. You know
and
I'm
judges.
Obsessed.
She's amazing.
I love that.
She posted
you guys
it so
great.
Many
Thank
times
you so much.
Over and over. Yeah, she's incredible. Well, you
Thank
know,
you.
I'm beyond honored. Like I'm in seventh heaven right now that
Me too.
I was able to
Me
have
too.
You on. we were able to have you on. That you agreed. I was when you dropped. I said, you know, she sent me her bio 2 weeks ago, and you know, I have so many guests, you know, that flake on me, and Marianne will attest for that, and she'll say, hey, call this one, they'll be on your show, no problem, and we all have different stories and different things, but we all have what to share, even if it's the same guest, it goes different ways, and it's never duplicated, and, you know, that's what we're all about, is bringing awareness out there and hoping that people will never give up. That's the name of my show. And, you know, keep fighting, because we have to believe, you know, every day I'm saying to myself, okay, I can't catch a break. Things are always curveballs, always, God, just let's have peace. Let my kids be at peace and happy. And, you know, there are so many people that have it worse, people that have had kids murdered or parents murdered, and I have to constantly remind myself. And I think that things like this are reminders to us also. Like Marianne said, there's so much sadness in this world, and, you know, and awareness to people that don't even know this is happening, you know. And we have a mom right now who twice a week goes to pick up her daughter. Daughter comes out of the home of the father and runs back in. He plays this whole game right now. And it's a couple of months now she hasn't had her daughter. And I've been putting photos of her out there because I went with her to pick her up, and I filmed everything just to show what is really going on. And we're hoping to get the highest of highest people involved, because the cops don't do crap. They don't care. They care if there's, God forbid, a murder. That's it. But I think that judges and police and all these people that don't do their job need to be held accountable. And I think that's really one way to fix it. If they have to be held accountable, like the mom of Grayson, I said, who could you sue? Well, judges have immunity, you know. There's no one to sue. You know, well, why do they have immunity? Because they're not doing their effing job. They're just pocketing money. That's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, You know, the more we just go out there and do our thing, and when you have something else to share, wherever your film is or whatever, send us the link. We'll get it. Mm-hmm. Your Rachel will get your stuff out there, and between Lucia and I, we will get it out there, and you know, people will hear about you. And
I'll sell cookies in the store on the street to help the ladies raise the money. We're going to raise this money. Trust me.
When she's ready to come to Florida and help us out here with filming, she'll let us know, and we will have you here. I mean, Pennsylvania has their broken system, and Connecticut has their broken system, and New York has their broken system, and Texas has their broken system, and North Carolina. I mean, it's one state after another after another after another.
Yeah.
I don't know how these people are. They're inhumane, and they don't belong in these positions, and they just need to be gone. We need to protect our children. End of story. In whatever way we can,
yeah.
We need to protect ourselves in whatever way we can. That's it.
Yeah.
That's why I don't own a gun right now, even though I'm taking lessons and I have a license. I'm just joking. I shouldn't say that. But, again,
cool.
Thank you so much, Rachel. I'm going to let you go because I know it's so late. And
yeah, I'm
going
to go
again,
to bed. Well, I'm going to have a biscuit and a cup of tea, and then I'm going to bed. More power
well,
to you,
you
baby.
Again.
You guys are great. I'm really
we have
impressed.
Our glass of
thank
wine,
you so
have
much.
Your tea. Thank you. Thank you so much. Have an
okay,
amazing
good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank
you.
Take care.
I'll hook you guys
bye.
Up.
We love you. We
oh,
love
good.
You.
I'm going to close out the show. Thank you, Marianne, for being on the whole time. And thank you, Lucia, for calling in. Thank
okay.
you, Darlene, for
thank
calling
you.
In. To our listeners, if there's anybody else that called in, Sheila called in. I think she probably had to go. But anyway, to our listeners, I'm going to let you guys go. Thank you so much again. It was an awesome show tonight. Each show that I do, I feel more and more honored to have these. And Danielle Pollack, thank you for calling in. I feel so honored when such an amazing, amazing, inspirational person is on my show. And almost every show I have somebody inspirational. But Rachel Merrick from the UK gave us her time. It's like 2 in the morning there. I don't even know what time it is. Thank you, Joe Clark, for sending me and giving me this blog talk radio time. And for my Master Charlie, I wish you'd come on my show. I miss having you on for helping me set this up and then pushing me out there to fly on my own and be my own host and my own person and but getting me started and giving me the confidence to do this. And again, Marianne and Lucia and all my callers and my listeners, thank you. And my message is to never give up. And we need to keep bringing awareness out there with films like this and stories so that our public knows what's going on so that we can finally get change and end the cycle of abuse and this corruption. Have a wonderful night. Never give up.
With a little perseverance, you can get things done. Sight of blind adherence that has conquered some. And nobody wants to know you're not.